This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's Christ or chaos, declared Peter Marshall, a former chaplain of the United States Senate. So then how in the world is it that they're replacing Christ by a global replacement of God is going to produce global unity? How is that going to happen? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about how they are intending for that to happen, what's really happening around our world, why it is happening even in our current presidential election, and what we can expect in the future. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends. This is Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Alex Newman was addressing a group in Scottsdale, Arizona on August 3rd, 2024. It was the American Freedom Alliance World War III Conference. And here was his question. Will the globalists plunge the world into yet another world war? Now, here's my question. If globalism is all about unifying the world, then why would the pursuit of globalism plunge the world into a world war? Interesting question, isn't it? But that's exactly what a world without Christ believes. That you can gain unity by disunity, and you compel the rest of the world to conform to a new world or global order. So Alex Newman argued in his speech that there's no hope through returning to faith in God of the Bible and adherence to the U.S. Constitution. That's the only hope we have. There's hope through returning to faith in the God of the Bible and adherence to the U.S. Constitution. There has to be something that unifies. The problem is, it is not unity at all. It becomes disunity in order to force a counterfeit conformity to a new global order that weaponizes every ability to resist and remove God and Jesus Christ from every culture and even from history itself. Now, that may seem like a very tall statement. Maybe you have trouble putting your mind and heart around it, but indeed, I believe it is absolutely true. And that's the reason why, for instance, Leo Holman, in his recent piece entitled Weaponizing Immigration, the Core of the Globalist Strategy. You see, people think that this matter of immigration is just, well, it's either obeying the law or not obeying the law. No, it's much more than that. It's much bigger than that. It has great purpose. Weaponizing immigration, in other words, allowing free-flowing immigration into not only the United States of America, but throughout the Western world that formerly was known as Christian Europe and then Christian America. And this same pattern is happening everywhere. Raise up those who don't believe in Christ and diminish and destroy those who do. That is the purpose, one of the main purposes of unfettered immigration. The second main purpose is to fill the ranks of populations in nations that heretofore were bound in significant unity by their belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, and to dilute that conviction so that it no longer forms the bond of unity in those countries. So, schools in the United Kingdom, Britain, begin teaching students about so-called misinformation and the dangers of extremist content as the nation continues to devolve into violent street robs fueled by Islamic migrants. The new initiative is going to indoctrinate students on how to discern real information from fake news by embedding a critical thinking into the school curriculum. What is that critical thinking? It's not critical thinking at all. It's just thinking that's critical of the truth of the Bible. A better word for it would be brainwashing or sensitivity training. You see, they don't want current people in Britain to grow up to follow the God of the Bible. They want to dispense with the God of the Bible, and whatever is necessary to accomplish that must be done, either by the invasion through under color of law, through other religions and cultures that despise Christ, or by legal orders to indoctrinate students, young people, with a globalist agenda, globalist thinking, such as multiculturalism, religious pluralism, and political correctness. So we heard those three words, the unholy trinity, that's the doctrine of globalism, multiculturalism, religious pluralism, and political correctness. And you'll remember that those terms came out of the 1970s. And they began to take hold and produce all kinds of children that were contrary to the word, will, and the ways of God. And by children, I'm not necessarily talking about actual physical children. I'm talking about the beliefs that came, the practices that came from those three words as the foundation for a new godless global order. It is out of that that came the whole homosexual movement, that came the divorce movement, that came the remarriage when your spouses are still living, all of that which was commentary to the words of Jesus himself. Then came homosexual marriage, then came transgenderism, then came pedophilia, and all of these things have come, and the acceptance of them have come as a result of three words: political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism. So, we're going to take a look and see, for instance, in the UK, how that is developing. For the past couple of weeks, the news has been filled with stories and videos of riots across Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Perhaps you've heard of it. The Brits took to the streets in angry and violent protest about the massive amount of immigration successive governments, both so-called conservative and liberal, have allowed to take place in the country. Why did they allow it to take place? Because they bought into the unholy Trinitarian doctrine, a godless doctrine of political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism. Every culture other than Christian culture was to be honored and accepted. Christian culture, by definition, then had to be denigrated. And that's how it began to happen. We'll talk more about what's happening in the UK in just a few moments. And then we'll take a look at the bigger picture that is developing, friends, even in American politics, the race for the White House as we speak. This is Viewpoint. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Elon Musk declared this week that civil war was inevitable in the UK. There's a virtual civil war going on as we speak. And in this country, civil war has been restrained because of the still predominance of the Christian faith that holds people back from unfettered violence in the streets to war against unfettered immigration that is reducing the very nature of American society, the God-fearing aspect of American society, and reducing American society into a globalist blend of all religions, all nationalities, in order to usher in a new, to prepare America to be ushered into a new world order. So the Britons took to the streets in angry and violent protests about the massive amount of immigration that a variety of governments leading up to the present allowed to take place. So how did the newly elected British Prime Minister Keir Starmer respond? Well, he called the protests far-right thuggery. And virtually every single media outlet smeared all the protesters as far-right bigots and racists. No, they weren't far-right bigots and racists. They were highly offended and increasingly offended by a government that was not governing in response to allegiance to the people of the UK, but rather in the advancement of an ulterior agenda called a global government. And they're seeing, they're feeling the pressure that this is placing upon society in England that itself was falling apart from its Christian roots. So it includes these governments, including the recent one with Keir Starmer, just elected prime minister, they're ignoring the legitimate concerns of the native British population. 40% of London's population was not born in Britain. 54% have parents who were born elsewhere. 63% of immigrants to Great Britain now come from non-EU countries, and many arrive from countries with religious beliefs and cultural practices that are not only different from those of Great Britain, but actually hostile to them. And therein lies the problem. In a November 2023 interview with former Australian Deputy Prime Minister John Anderson, a best-selling author, Douglas Murray, was decrying the West's absurd hostility to its own history and culture. He cited the recent election of former Scottish First Minister Humza Yousaf as an example. Well, who is Humza Yousaf? Well, he is a dyed-in-the-wool, dedicated, fundamentalist Muslim, elected in Scotland as their first minister. He had photographed on his first day in office with a group of other Muslims doing the Islamic prayers in the first minister's office, bending to Mecca. But there was no uproar in Scotland about Humza Yousaf doing this Islamic prayer in the official office, because we want everybody to have religious freedom except ourselves, said Laura Hollis in her piece, There is No Western Civilization Without Christianity. And we want to promote every belief system other than the one that got us here. That's madness, she said. The attitude Murray describes is pervasive not only in the United Kingdom, but throughout Europe itself. It should not shock anyone, said Laura Hollis, that Western civilization is under attack. Christianity, one of the pillars of Western civilization, has been attacked for decades, its role in contemporary Western society continually eroded. She called it suicide, social and societal suicide, saying there is no Western civilization without Christianity. And she's right. But what we're trying to do, what the globalists are trying to do, is completely eliminate Christianity and any belief in Christ, even the name of Christ, in order to usher in a counterfeit belief system of globalism that man himself can save himself and ultimately produce a utopian world that will not need any of that so-called phony, as they would say, silly belief in God and salvation through Christ. So it's an arrogant and egotistical belief that there's no God, that science and religious faith are at odds with one another, can't coexist it. But the problem is, without God as the ultimate source of truth, which science is supposed to be producing or seeking, men soon come to believe that the truth is whatever they say it is, and then demand that others agree with what they say at any given moment, because what they say depends upon their feelings at any given moment. In other words, they try to make themselves out to be God, and that's exactly the foundation of the new world order that's in process. And let's talk about that. Where do we stand with regard to that development? Well, I sat with lunch over a longtime friend. We were just talking about some of this as our wives were celebrating my wife's birthday. And here is what we discovered, concluded. 2030 is the year that the World Economic Forum has decreed to be the fulfillment, the final resolution and fulfillment of the Great Reset, which is turning the entire world into a globalist, non-theological, digital world. In addition to that, the United Nations has formed their own 2030 agenda. It's called the 2030 Agenda. What's it about? It's about producing a new utopian global order where the nations of the world subscribe to essentially a godless view that man himself becomes God in effect, and therefore anyone who resists must be removed, becomes the odd man out and must be removed, either by under color of law or by violence, must be removed. Now, the New Agers, in their own religion, have a term for this, of the removal of those who don't agree with this new system. They use the term selected out. In other words, all true followers of Jesus Christ must be selected out. So let me ask you, if you realize that we've come to the place, maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, maybe four, actually we only have 5.5 years until 2030 is over, only 5.5 years, friends, this is 2024, 2024 from 2030 would be 6 years, but we're already more than halfway through 2024, so we got about 5.5 years. So if sometime within the next 5.5 years you discover that you're going to be selected out, not only selected out of so-called civil society, but selected out of the very population of the planet. What do you think of that? How does that make you feel? Would that be cause for some concern? You say, oh, well, that would never happen in the United States. Don't kid yourself. It is happening here. It's happening all over our country. It's happening in Europe. It's happening everywhere because it's the inexorable spirit of globalism, this pushing to achieve that very goal within the next 5.5 years. Excuse me. Will they be able to do that? It's moving very quickly. Because so many Westerners think themselves above nonsense like religion, they casually and happily promote ideologies and policies that undermine the family, threaten the safety of children, attack masculinity, collapse the educational system, and weaken our whole society. None of the West's enemies will care about our armed forces' alleged inclusiveness, the number of transgender officers, or the widespread use of sexually confused pronouns, except to see them as further proof of the complete weakness of America and the West. And Christianity, though, has been responsible for the creation and expansion of Western civilization in its artistic and literary, architectural, educational, political, social, cultural, even technological achievements, as well as the unprecedented liberty and prosperity that has been enjoyed by so much of the world's population over the past 2,000 years. So those pushing to further reduce Christianity's influence on Western civilization or eliminate Western civilization itself are soon going to find that what takes its place is not a secular utopia of multicultural respect, but a bloody mass of sectarian conflict, routine violence, and subjection of the weak by those in power. In other words, what things looked like before Christianity came on the scene. So globalism is seeking to replace God. It's Christ or chaos. So where does that lead us now? That's what we want to focus on with the balance of the program today. Again, you're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint determines destiny. And if you even have an inkling of believing that what I'm sharing with you here today is truth, you can well understand then why the Lord might have moved upon my heart a year and a half ago to begin writing the book, When Persecution Comes. Preparing hearts for perilous times. These are perilous times, friends. These are the very times that the Apostle Paul specifically wrote about. He described them in his letter to Timothy. Perilous times. Do you think it's a perilous time when those who truly follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are subject to being selected out from civil society and removed from the planet? What would you call that? That's ultimate persecution, isn't it? But there have to be other levels of persecution that precede it. In the West, that's coming under color of law. So the law is being used as a weapon against Christians and against Christian belief. In other words, the Christian belief that have set the standard for a moral and godly society is being intentionally eroded under color of law. Now, let's take a look at this real carefully when we get back from this upcoming break. How is the current battle for the White House reflecting this? Whether you realize it or not, this battle lies at the very foundation of the entire battle for the White House in 2024. It's not parenthetical to it. It is the battle. And you just don't realize it because it comes in so many different forms. You might want to consider getting a copy of my book, the brand new book, just off the press, literally just off the press, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because, friends, people are not prepared. I sat with my friend at lunch today and was sharing this with him, and he said, you're absolutely right, people are not prepared. Christians are not prepared. Their pastors are not prepared. And that's what the book is about. It's not just a book about information. It's a book about transformation and preparing our lives, our hearts, our children, those in our spheres of influence, to be able to stand in such a day as we're describing. That's coming upon us very rapidly. It's a book of hope and preparation. $25 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and mailing. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. We're talking about the explosion of the pursuit of a new world order, globalism, throughout our world. We're seeing it manifested in many different places. The most recent is both here in the U.S., but also in the U.K., that is producing chaos everywhere. It is no wonder that Elon Musk declared earlier this week that the situation in the UK is so explosive that civil war is almost inevitable. In reality, the pursuit of globalism is intending to produce a kind of civil war everywhere. Why? Because those who are seeking the globalistic, godless movement and ultimate perceived utopian view believe that they must create chaos in order to resolve the chaos with the new world order as the great promise of hope and peace on earth, ushering in a counterfeit Christ as the ultimate savior of the world to provide hope on earth, goodwill toward men. That's it. That's a distillation of it. Now, if you look at our current political scene, it goes back to 2015. We can trace it to 2015 because that's where the explosion was first revealed. When Donald J. Trump came down the escalator there at Trump Towers and declared that he was going to run for president and use these terms, "We're going to make America great again," it was as if it were a declaration of war against the globalists, both in this country and all over the world, especially in Western Europe. Make America great again? You got to be kidding me. We're trying to do just the opposite. We're trying to blend the whole world together. We're producing all of this illicit immigration to blend all the nations of the earth together so that they can't realize independent sovereignty. No, that's not what we want. We want a new utopian global order. And so they rose up in fierce anger against Donald Trump. It had nothing to do with his name. It had nothing to do with Trump Towers. It had nothing to do with his tweets. It had nothing to do with any of those things, the color of his hair, his face, or anything. It had to do with the words, "We're going to make America great again." That's why those words and the MAGA distillation of that is so incredibly offensive to globalists. Everything else talked about pales in insignificance compared to that. Whether you talk about the economy, whether you talk about law and order, no matter what you talk about, they're all issues, but they're not the real issue. The real issue that we're facing here is whether we will finally catapult America into a new global order, the world order, and do away with American sovereignty, do away with the American Constitution as we know it, and render ourselves subject to an ultimate world constitution, and thereby under the Antichrist. It's as simple as that. try to wrap your mind and heart around it, because that is the reality that we're facing. Joe Biden was seen to be the vehicle through which they would accomplish that in the United States. However, when his mental and physical state began to deteriorate, and with the revelation of that debate a couple of months ago, it rendered it impossible for them to continue to use him for that purpose. He was therefore ushered out of the presidency by the very leaders in the Democrat Party who were crying about Republicans' war against democracy. It was they who were against democracy. It was they and the majority in the Democrat Party, particularly the elites in the Democrat Party, who are the consummate globalists and who were seeking to accomplish this globalist agenda, and now they found that at risk. They had to usher Joe Biden out, which they did without any vote, without any democracy, and then ushered in his VP, whom they heretofore had said was worthless and that they did not want her because she was such a risk. But now they have placed in Kamala Harris's hands the pursuit of the New World Order, together with her VP choice, who is even more aggressive concerning this than she. Together, they are the Democrat Party's final force right now to prepare the way the American people, and by ushering in 4 more years of the direction that Joe Biden was leading the country, they believe that they're going to be able to, by 2030, to secure the New World Order and force America and Americans into it. So, what do you think would be happening? This, by the way, is not a matter of Republican or Democrat. It's just that the majority of those who are committed to a global order are also within the Democrat Party and are also the ones who are most rejecting of the God of the Bible. Not everybody, but the most. There are also Republicans who were very angry and upset with Donald Trump and wanted to get rid of him. They joined with the Democrats. Who were they? They were the globalists and still are. If you do not understand this and refuse to accept it, you will get what you deserve. You'll get what you deserve. Now, you say, well, what difference would 4 more years make? Well, what difference was one more year or day of breath for you? What difference does that make? Well, it makes a difference to you. It makes a difference to your family. Four more years makes a difference. At least it puts off the inexorable drive. In other words, it's an attempt to try to secure some measure of, protection against the chaos that comes with the pursuit of a new global order, because that requires chaos to be resolved through government force or threat of force. So that's where we are. And therefore, you will see, if you have an ear to see, an eye to see, an ear to hear, you will see and hear that Kamala Harris is changing all of her purported beliefs. She's trying to conform her previous declared beliefs and practices to make it look like she's not in favor of these things that cater to a new world order and new global government. It's all deceit. Total deceit. If you believe that somebody can just on the spot just change all of their practices, all of their mind, all of their alleged beliefs, going back years and years and years and years on a dime just because they have been placed in a position to replace Joe Biden, you're living in a fool's paradise. I'm sorry, you just are. It's not just what people say, it's what they do that matters. And that's the reason why the brother of Jesus, James, said, but be you doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, all that having been said, we take a further look at the heart and soul of this globalistic movement. And it goes back into, it goes back actually to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. But instead of just going back all the way back there, we're going to move forward and leapfrog into modern America in the 1970s. In the 1970s, there was a renewed pursuit of unity all over the world, and especially in America. Unity, unity, this our cry. I found it manifested, for instance, in things such as mayor's prayer breakfasts or the presidential prayer breakfast and so on. Those were all started by Christians to place focus on the Christian faith and renewal of the mind and heart and soul of America in Christ. But guess what happened? All it took was just a few years until the multiculturalists, religious pluralists, and political correct folk came in and demanded that they bring in not Christians, but others to speak. Muslims, Hindus, whatever. I watched it happen. I watched it happen from coast to coast. Right inside those events, I watched it happen. It was all about unity fever. This is how we're going to produce unity. This is how we're going to bring our cities together. This is how we're going to bring our country together. This is how we're all going to reach this consummate, wonderful goal, utopian goal of everybody singing Kumbaya together. So this pressure for and toward world unity at every level is unprecedented. A fellow by the name of Frank Buchwald began to move toward that years ago and produced another movement that actually was moving inexorably in that direction. He was a Christian, but ultimately it got co-opted for the unity fever movement all over the world, but especially in America. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today, in this segment of the program, we're going to take a little, a quick trip to see how this unity fever has been developing and where it's going. It's not that difficult to figure it out, But you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a willingness to understand. And hopefully, in the next 12 to 15 minutes, with the foundation that has been laid already here on the program today, you'll be able to discern where all of this is going. This pressure for and toward world unity at every level, it's unprecedented. The pressure has reached, I would say, a fever pitch. The flames of global fever are fanned by fear of global conflagration and by a utopian vision for a global peace and prosperity that has, up to this time, escaped man's grasp. So, all of this is moving, bringing the religious and secular together. So, Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of the UK, when he left his prime ministership, he formed the Religious Unity Group. He announced it with great fanfare in New York, and the purpose was to unify the six major religions of the world. Here's what Tony Blair said. Religion is the new politics. Religion is the new politics. In other words, we've got to get all the religions together. Well, how are you going to get all the religions together without compromising them? How are you going to get true followers of Jesus Christ who declare, as Jesus did, that I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man will come to the Father but by me. How are you going to get such people to engage in some sort of a kumbaya unity fever with Muslims and Hindus, Hindus who believe in 3 million gods, and all other kinds of belief systems like New Age, and we could go on and on and on. How are you going to do that? Or Baha'i, there's another one. How are you going to bring them all together in one great unity? The only way you can do that is to compromise out the very essence of what they believe and turn it into a feeling-based orgy. So this emerging globalism is being forged out of all of the prevalent isms in our world, the most significant of which are the science isms, social isms, political isms, and religious isms, with the ultimate goal of unprecedented materialism. And when you bring them all together with their developing magnetic attraction, where they're chasing each other into this uncanny bond, now almost always referred to as globalism. It's pretty fancy, amazing to watch what has been developing. And it's so easy then to be trapped in the deception because of the sheer weight and movement of the supposed authorities and their massing majorities that are embracing this globalistic, veritable new gospel, the new hope of salvation. That's really what it is. There are a number of different kinds of oneness. One is what we might call evolutionary oneness. So in 1859, you'll remember Charles Darwin released his Origin of Species, the survival of the fittest, and so on. Then, as a result of that, evolution increasingly in the 1970s became the unseen bond facilitating the emerging world unity in virtually every sphere, whether political, scientific, social, or religious, even material. Everything was evolution, which denies the Creator God. In other words, you cannot embrace the God of the Bible and evolution. They're non sequiturs. So evolution has become the unifying, shall we say, creation doctrine of the developing global alternative gospel. You have to have something other than God to describe and explain how things got here and where they are. Then you have what I call social oneness. Humankind needed a new bond to unify socially. Self-love, which came out through Freudian psychology that came about just shortly after Darwin came on the scene. Now, as a result of this pursuit, feelings in the 1970s gradually and purposely became the new means of communication and belief because they supported self as king. So when feelings become Lord, yourself becomes king. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul warned about in his letter to Timothy about perilous times. Men will become lovers of their own self. What do you think the selfie world is all about? How do you think that developed? So even in the church then, starting in the 1970s, I watched it happen, starting in Southern California, and it metastasized across the country through the church growth movement initially. And then it began to metastasize in the 1990s through the seeker-sensitive movement in the church. Those were the engines that drove this new lordship of feelings into the replacement of genuine biblical faith. Then comes political oneness. So you have social oneness, evolutionary oneness, and political oneness. So isn't it interesting that just as Israel was reborn as a nation in 1948, the United Nations came into being in 1945 or 1946, I believe it was. Isn't that interesting? So Satan's substitute for unity in the God of the Bible was replaced by unity, political unity, godless political unity through the United Nations. And one of the earliest official acts of the United Nations was to partition or divide the land of Palestine, which God had eternally deeded to Israel, and they divided it into two nations, one for Jews and one for Arabs. You say, well, then why is all this battle going on? Because the other nation that they divided that land into is known as Transjordan or Jordan. But the Arabs didn't want to include those that had lived in Israel in that, and so they set them aside, about 700,000 of them, in camps in order to use them worldwide against Israel politically. That's where the whole Gaza battle comes from. It's all rooted in that very simple description. So what we're seeing now is the pursuit of peace and prosperity. All of these unity groups around the world. The first one was the European Union. And after the European Union has come many other unions. It's a phenomenon that's taking place all over the world. It's been happening, and ultimately the Bible tells us, in fact, here at the time that I wrote my book, Seduction of the Saints, these were the unions that were either in place or forming: the European Union, the Mediterranean Union, the North American Union, Transatlantic Union, South American Union, Central American Union, Pacific Union, Russia and Belarus Union, Indian Union, African Union, Central Asian Union, and South Asian Union. Ultimately, they overlap and will form 10 regional governments, I believe, conforming to what the prophet Daniel told us was going to exist as the final world government, out of which would emerge the Antichrist as the final leader. Now, in order to achieve what the globalists want and envision, they have to achieve religious oneness. That's why Tony Blair said, religion is the new politics. So how would such universal acceptance be achieved? What would win the mind and heart of the world to passionately embrace globalism as the ultimate gospel for peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Are you going to be able to recognize Satan's duplicity in this massive hour of deception? Or are you going to be willing to dance with the deceiver, seduced by his offer of counterfeit shalom or peace? It's going to be alluringly wrapped in religious robes, calculated to convince all those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So you've heard me say over and over again here on this program, it's time to prepare the way of the Lord. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And in your life, in the lives of those in your sphere of influence, that you can be able to withstand in the evil day. And massive spiritual deception is mounting as the final bridge. It's bidding pastors and priests and parishioners and parachurch leaders to cross over what you might call a worldly Jordan into a counterfeit promised land of global security and prosperity. And the Bible tells us that majority of people will buy into it. He said, if it is possible, even the very small remnant elect will be deceived. That's what Jesus said. You may not like what he said, but that's what Jesus said. Do you agree with him or not? But that's where we're heading. That's what we're about, and that's the reason why I have written the many books that I have written, in order to gradually, over the past 20 years, prepare the way of the Lord in the hearts of professing Christians. All of the warnings of Scripture are to Christians, or Jews, who claim to be the heirs through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wrote the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. One person said it was the most important book he had ever read other than the Bible. Why, I asked? Because it was so applicational. It applied the Bible in so many ways to our lives and where we're living and how to understand what's going on and not be seduced. The Bible warns about seduction. It's an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Seduction of the Saints. Seduction of the Saints. If you don't have it, you really need to get it. It will help you to understand our times. It will help you to prepare your children, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. What a book for discussion, I'll tell you. You want to have family discussion? This is it. It's on our website, $15. Also, the brand new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts, Our Hearts, for Perilous Times. $25, we'll put it in your hands. I hope you don't miss it. It's essential for Christians all over the world today, and especially in Americans, because we are most susceptible to being deceived. Because we think we're the exception to everything. Sometimes even God's word itself. Now, if you get both of those books at the same time, it will be $6 for the first book and $2 for the second book. In other words, a total of $8, postage and handling. So you save quite a bit of money that way. And I hope that you will find yourself blessed, your family blessed, as you get a hold of these books and begin to read them gradually and prayerfully before the Lord. Thanks for joining us, friends. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. Please, seriously consider. These are the times. If you want to make a difference, this is how you can make a difference. This is one way you can make a difference. You might not be able to be on the radio, but at least you can help us get the message out and be a partner together. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.